All right, happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to Real Christianity Live. This is episode 249. I just want to welcome everybody that is going to be tuning in with us tonight, or maybe you're watching this later in the week or at some future date. Welcome to you as well. For those of you that are not familiar with me, my name is Steve Fox. I'm the guy behind the Real Christianity Facebook and Instagram ministry and pastor here in Northeast Ohio. And anyways, it's great to have you with us for this episode. This is episode 249, and we've been doing kind of a little mini series as we've been looking at a chronological harmony of all four Gospels, looking at the life of Christ from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're towards the end of that. We're in the very last week of Jesus' life and ministry here on this earth. And we've been in, this is part three of a kind of a little mini series that Jesus saved towards the end of his ministry about the end times. And of course, you know, if you were about to die, if you were about to go away from your loved ones, you know that the last things you would mention to them and share with them would be some of the things that are the most important and the biggest things on your heart and mind. And our Lord did not want to leave us in his first coming without preparing us for what is coming when he returns, and the events and the atmosphere and the climate of what will be happening as we get closer to his return. And so that's where we pick it up tonight. Tonight is the end, part three, kind of subtitle, Stay Awake. And we're going to hear Jesus say this over and over again in the passages that we're going to be looking at this evening. To stay awake, we cannot ignore these things. We cannot ignore his return or the end times, as scary or overwhelming as it may be. We have to have it in front of us so we don't doze off, so that we can stay awake. And so if you will do just as I am doing, I'm going to go ahead and hit the share button on my personal Facebook. And if you'll do the same thing before we get started, if you would just hit that share button, that would be greatly appreciated. Instagram, I don't know if you can do that during a live. I don't really watch a ton of live Instagrams myself, but if you can hit share now, do so. And if not, certainly do that after you were done. And I will greatly appreciate that. So tonight we're going to be in Matthew 24, verses 32 through 51, Mark chapter 13, verses 28 through 37, and Luke chapter 21, verses 29 through 36. A lot of that overlaps, so we'll try not to overlap too much because we have enough to get through just with that. But just know those are three pretty big passages, but most of it is kind of overlapping. So anyways, tonight we do a quick, very quick recap on some of the highlights of things that Jesus has already taught us in episodes 1 and 2, or part 1 and 2 of this little mini series on the end times. Jesus has talked about the tribulation and the escalating tribulation that is to come. Jesus has already told us that there's going to be false prophets and false Christs that are going to emerge and lead away tons of people that are not paying attention and that are not staying awake. He's already told us about some of the tribulation that is to come in terms of wars, rumors of wars, catastrophic events from the heavens. And we also last week talked about the rapture of the church. And so we've talked about the tribulation. We've talked about the Antichrist. We've talked about a lot of these very, very common themes when you think about the end times. And of course, we're not doing an in-depth treatment. I do intend to do that when we are done with this study. We're going to circle back around and really get into, you know, a more in-depth idea of the Antichrist, the tribulation, the rapture, where the church fits in with that. I'm not totally sure the exact way I'm going to tackle that. But anyways, that'll be a little bit down the road. But Jesus has told us there's going to be, you know, a falling away. There's going to be a leading away, if it was possible, even the elect, which are Christians. So he's warned us that when the Antichrist emerges and when the tribulation is in full force, there's going to be great temptations to turn away from Jesus. That's much of what your book of Revelation is about, although it's full of symbolism and many other things. But, you know, stay with Jesus, endure to the end. And so those are just, again, just a quick recap of the highlights that we've looked at. Tonight, we look at Jesus essentially encouraging us in the midst of the Antichrist and the wars, the rumors of wars, the tribulation, the falling away, all of these things leading up to his return and our rapture to him. He's going to encourage us to stay awake, to stay sober-minded, to stay close to him, to be aware of the second coming of Christ so that we can keep our eyes on Jesus and also evangelistically be sharing our faith with as many people as are in our lives, to obviously to varying degrees. But God has placed people close in your life, and those people that are closest to us, we should have the greatest burden to see them saved from the tribulation that is to come, if we're alive for that, and the ultimate tribulation, which is eternal punishment and eternal separation from God. That is the greatest tribulation that is to come. Jesus wants us to stay awake. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And Jesus starts off by telling us that, no man knows the day or the hour. We talked about that last week. We touched on that. We're going to touch on it again here in a few minutes. But Jesus says, with all of these things in mind, again, the Antichrist, tribulation, rapture, second coming, all of these things, Jesus says, you'll not know the exact timing, but you will have evidence that his return is drawing closer. Let's pick it up in Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 28. Jesus says, now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branches are already, when its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things, the things we just talked about, recognize that he is near right at the door. Luke 21, verse 29 says much the same. Then he told them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, you see it for yourselves. You know that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things, what things? The tribulation, the rise of the Antichrist, the great falling away. Remember, Paul says Christ isn't returning until the Antichrist emerges, 2 Thessalonians 2. Christ isn't returning until we see the great falling away, the great apostasy, the great rebellion. Again, 2 Thessalonians 2. And again, along with the wars, rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the strife, the tribulation, the rise of the Antichrist. When you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Okay? So, remember what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, essentially, you all, Christians, you don't walk in darkness for the day of the Lord, the return of Jesus, to catch you off guard. Now, we're going to see in a second, no one knows the day or the hour, neither should we be trying to pinpoint the exact day or the hour when Jesus returns. But what Jesus says here is that Christians, you will see the signs that Christ is wrapping up human history and that he is about to return, that the kingdom of God is near, that he is right at the door. As we get further and really further away from this moment and closer to the return of Jesus, Christians, those that are filled with the Spirit of God, those that are staying awake, will have more and more confidence that while we'll never know the specific day, we will never know the specific hour, we will know, hey, we need to get ready. Remember something, when the Antichrist emerges, he's not going to come with like a shirt that says, I'm the Antichrist. So Christians, while again, we may and we won't know everything all up front, we won't know everything, you know, all at once or anything like that, we will progressively be, and that's why we need to be staying awake, staying filled with the Spirit of God that comes straight through being filled with the Word of God, walking in step with the Spirit, staying close to the teachings of Jesus from Genesis through Revelation. And anyways, we will see these signs. Jesus says, like, when you look at the fig tree, you can tell when it's about to produce fruit. It happens in a certain way every time. That's what Jesus says here. He says, again, Paul echoes Jesus, you're not walking in total darkness like the world. They are going to be caught off guard. But Christians, you will not be caught totally off guard at the return of Jesus, although it'll come as a surprise, you know, to everybody in one manner of speaking. But Christians that are filled with the Word of God, when Jesus returns, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's 5 years from now, or 500 or 5,000 years from now, Christians that know the Bible, that are studying the Bible, and that are walking again in the Spirit daily, we will know when the fig tree is about to produce its fruit, okay, and produce its leaves. You know that the summer is near. Jesus does not want us to walk around. And I had a little brief interaction with a great brother in Christ. He saw my teaching, and he wasn't being mean or anything like that, but he just, I understand what he was saying. He said, Steve, you know, that's cool that you're teaching on that, but I don't really focus on the end. I'm really focused on the fact that the gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom, and I'm not worrying about how it ends. And I said, well, brother, I hear what you're saying, and I think those two concepts go hand in hand. How much more sweet is that idea that the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the gates of hell will not prevail? The gates of hell, not right now, not in, obviously in the past, and not in the future, not during even a time of great tribulation, the gates of hell will never conquer the kingdom of Jesus. And so I just lovingly let him know that we it's not an either or. Yes, we should celebrate that our king is risen. Our king is the great victor. Our king, you know, has won the victory. And yet he tells us here over the last couple of weeks we've been looking at that there is a time of great turmoil coming, a time of great tribulation that is coming to this world, and we need to be looking at the indicators, is what Jesus says here. Okay. And again, that's not, there's some people on Christian TV that, you know, they got these graphs, and they can tell you, like, if the Antichrist is going to wear boxer briefs, or if he's a coat guy, or like, we don't get into nonsense. Okay. That's kind of nonsensical. But we do need to stay in the Word and be sober-minded of what Jesus and the other parts of God's Word tells us about the end. And I want you to stay awake. Down to Matthew 24:34, truly I say to you, Jesus says, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Luke 21, much the same. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So, again, what I'm going to say here, many good Christians don't totally agree. Some people see it differently. Let me tell you what I believe Jesus just said there. Jesus just said, learn the parable of the fig tree. And he says, essentially, that there is a time coming when, you know, when you're going to see these things come together. The tribulation, the Antichrist, the falling away, the things we've been talking about. He says, when you see those signs, it's like looking at the fig tree and you start to see the leaves come forth, okay? And you start to see the figs, just like every other tree, putting forth their leaves. You know it's what time it is. And I believe what Jesus is saying here is not necessarily this generation that is hearing me audibly will not pass away. I don't think that's what Jesus means. I think what Jesus means is the generation that I just spoke about, the generation that sees these things happening, whether it's Matthew and Luke and John's era, which they thought it was, whether it was, 100 years later with the disciples of the disciples, whether it's been over the last 2,000 years, pretty much every era of the Christian church, we have believed that Jesus is going to return in our lifetime. And boy, I'll tell you what, we're going to get into this in a few minutes. We don't want to rush the Lord, but the day he returns is going to be amazing for those that love him. The day he returns is going to be we talked about this the last couple of weeks. I mean, you can't even imagine the relief and the love and the joy and the worship that we're going to feel and experience when Jesus returns, because there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tribulation, no more death. Those that have died, we will be back together with forever that love him. And if you love him, we rejoice in that, but we also know that there's a reason why God relents and is giving us more time. We'll get into that in just a couple of minutes. But Jesus says, this generation that sees these things. See, I grew up believing that, depending on what your end times views are, and I don't want to disparage anybody, because I grew up believing that the rapture would happen first, then tribulation. I hope that is right. I don't feel that that is correct, but I hope it is. To be raptured first would even be, even better. But based upon what we talked about the last couple of weeks, I think Christians will go through the tribulation. But people will do different things with that, with this verse, because our post-millennial friends, our friends that believe that essentially the entire world is going to get saved and then Jesus is going to return, many good Christians believe and have believed that over the last 2,000 years. Don't have time to get into that tonight. But they would say, well, this is me. This is the generation. I mean, the generation that heard Jesus say this didn't pass away before Jesus returned in AD 70 in judgment against Israel for rejecting their Messiah. People that believe kind of how I grew up and maybe how you grew up, this generation, that just means that this not generation that lived there, but like the race of people won't pass away. And the resurrection of the Jewish nation was a great boost in that confidence that this generation will not pass away. And so that word generation can, I guess, mean race or specific group. I think the most natural understanding is just to understand that Jesus just talked about people that are going to be alive and they're going to see the signs. They are going to see all of these things. Again, the tribulation, the Antichrist. They're going to see the worldwide hardships that are coming. And he says that generation will not pass away. This is not going to be decades of tribulation. We talked about that last in the last week or two. Jesus says, that if God's going to cut the days short, the time period short, for the sake of his people, because of how bad the tribulation will be. John says in the book of Revelation that Satan is going to be released from the bottomless pit for a short time. And I believe that's when the great tribulation will officially really go into the next gear. In a similar way, Jesus says, listen, if the generation that sees the Antichrist, that generation is not going to pass away. This isn't going to be 100 years of Antichrist. It's not going to be 35 or 50 years where most of that generation is basically gone or whatnot. I think when we see the tribulation, again, when we do our study on the end times, we'll get into more depth. I know we're kind of just grazing in this study, but You know, when Jesus, when the end comes, it will not be a lengthy time. Some of you grew up just as I did with the 7 years of tribulation. Even if it was 7 years, that would still not put this idea in jeopardy, because 7 years is plenty of time for the vast majority of a generation to not pass away. But anyways, all that to say, Jesus is telling them, I believe, that there is tribulation coming. You are going to see these signs, and you're going to see the fig tree sprout its leaves and its fruit. But that generation that sees it, that generation that starts to see the signs of the times. See, right now, we're not really seeing formal signs of the times. I do think we're seeing at least a great foreshadowing, okay, with the way the world is today. It's at least a great foreshadowing in a similar way as World War II was in certain ways. But again, when we start to see these absolute, undeniable signs of the end, Steve, why does that matter? Because it could be 10,000 years from now. It could be 500 years from now. Well, it matters because everything Jesus says matters. And we need to be aware of these things so that we can teach our churches, so that we can teach our kids, our grandkids, and their kids, and their kids, and their kids. And our hope is that our investment of what we prepare the next generation for just continues to carry on. That's why it matters. And it might matter because we might be in the end before we know it. Jesus says, you'll know the signs. Okay. If you're a Christian, you will be able to see the signs. Maybe you're a newer Christian. That's okay. Get close to those who have walked with Jesus for a long time. But most importantly, even that, more importantly than even that, you make sure you are in the Bible and you are reading God's word every day, okay? Jesus says, this generation will not pass away. Jesus says, there is something that's going to pass away. He says, heaven and earth will pass away. And we need to understand that this world that we live in is going to pass away, just like every human is going to pass away. Animals pass away. This creation is all passing away. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. When we live forever and ever and ever, we're not going to be living on this earth. Jesus says, I'm going to create new heavens and a new earth for my people. Now, we don't really know what all that entails, but boy, doesn't it sound good. It sounds awesome. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away. He says, but my words will never pass away. And that is a promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, no matter what kind of tribulation we go through. The words of Jesus Christ will never pass away. And he says, that generation that sees the Antichrist, that sees the great falling away, that sees the tribulation time, that sees all of these things, they will not pass away. And he says, heaven and earth will pass away. A lot of things are going to pass away, but his words will never pass away. Okay, you can stand, and the greatest armies and people of the last 2,000 years have tried to crush the name of Jesus or malign the name of Jesus through false teaching or this, that, or whatever, and Jesus Christ's word will not and cannot pass away. It will never pass away. Continuing, Matthew 24 down to verse 36, Jesus says, but of that day, what day? Well, the day that we've been talking about, this era, not a 24-hour time period, but this era of time of the Antichrist, the rise of the Antichrist, the tribulation, all of these things, he says, of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Of that day and hour, no one knows. That's another reason why this can't really mean that Jesus is talking about like the generation that actually heard his words, because you could very much so pinpoint the return of Jesus if he says, listen, this generation's not going to pass away until all these things happen. Then that would tell you, well, this is going to be in the next like 20 or 30 or 40 years. Okay. And Jesus says, listen, And this is one of the most important things. This is one reason why some people, they don't want to really study the end times, because we know that if Jesus says that Jesus in his humanity does not even know when the Father is going to call his church home, when the Father is going to send Jesus to bring final destruction to this world. Now, Jesus, obviously, in his deity knows, and we know that Jesus is fully God and he's fully man. And again, I don't know how all this fits, and I don't think anybody really does, but I am, at least in Jesus' humanity, he says, just like Jesus got hungry, Jesus doesn't get hungry in his deity. God doesn't have needs. But in Jesus' humanity, he says, I don't even know when the Father is going to call, this end times to start and to finish. The angels don't know. By the way, again, the weird people on TV, the weird TV preachers, they don't know. And if anyone tells you that I know when Jesus is going to return, he's going to return in this year, he's going to return in it, totally ignore them as a false teacher. Okay, so at the beginning of our lesson, we know that we will know generally when Jesus is going to return. Okay, as it, that generation is going to see the signs, they're going to see the fig tree, Jesus says. Learn the parable of the fig tree. In other words, you're going to see evidences that it's getting closer. But Jesus says no one knows the specific day, no one knows the specific hour. And anyone that tells you they do is lying to you, and they are not to be listened to. So it's okay to study the end times. We need to. Jesus is going to tell us several times here tonight, stay awake. In other words, study this. Think about it. It's okay to study ideas and study different things. And it's okay if you don't even have the same views as me or your pastor. Good people can disagree on some of these details. But on a statement like this, of that day and hour, no one knows. There is no disagreeing on that, because Jesus is crystal clear that no angel, no prophet, no pastor, nobody, including the Son in his humanity, does not know the day or the hour. And I have a hard time saying that because of the great love and respect I have for our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Okay, and I would only dare say such a thing because Jesus says this crystal clear. He, in his humanity, not even he knows. We don't know how his humanity and his deity fully interact. We don't know that. Paul even says in Philippians, that's a mystery that nobody knows. But understand, it's good to stay awake. And it's good to be aware that we need to be aware that Jesus is going to return, and he's going to bring unmitigated judgment and wrath with him to those who are his enemies, and absolute salvation and love and rescue for those who love him. But we don't want to get carried away. We don't want to start making statements that violate the boundaries that we have. Inbounds, you know, I almost want to say have fun, but study, dig, stay in the Bible, read the Old Testament. It talks much about the return of Jesus. Obviously, the rest of the New Testament, many parts talk about the return of Jesus. Have a good time with it. Stay in the Bible. But we never go further than the words of Jesus. Okay? We do not know the day or the hour. Matthew 24:37. Jesus is going to kind of circle back around a little bit to the idea that while you may not know the exact timing, there will be signs. Jesus says, for just as the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Again, understand what Jesus is saying here. Number one, Jesus says that Noah was a real person. We don't have time to get into all that tonight, but Noah's not an allegory. Noah's not a made-up story. Noah was a historical person. And Jesus says, as it was in Noah's day, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. And then Jesus elaborates, what does he mean by that? In those days before the flood, they were living life as normal. Now, Christians understand what's going on in the world today and really always, but especially today, and really, again, throughout history, it's not normal, but to the world, it's normal. Rampant sexuality, homosexuality, drunkenness, partying, killing, murder, greed, all of these things and many, many other things, that's normal to the world. It's sad, but that's just normal life. Jesus says they were drinking, they were marrying, and they were living lives, eating and just living normal. And then all of a sudden, Noah and his family entered the ark. And the people were mocking them and laughing. And there was a lot of wickedness going on in Noah's day. Believe me, unbelievable wickedness. That's why God flooded the earth. Demonic activity, don't fool around with that stuff. Sexual immorality, don't fool around with that stuff. All of those things are to entice you to keep your eyes off of Jesus and onto the things of this world. And Jesus says Noah entered the ark and his family with him. But Noah entered the ark. Noah went into the place of salvation. Noah was escaping by God's grace and God's provision, escaping the wrath that was about to be poured out. Ultimately, Jesus is the ark. And those who are Christians, we enter the safety of Jesus. He is the great, perfect, ultimate ark. And it says they did not understand what was happening until the flood came. Rain started falling, and most people believe that wasn't a normal thing until after the flood. Don't have time to get into all that tonight. And, of course, they were making fun of Noah because he's building this huge boat, but it didn't really make any sense. He was, I imagine, persuading people. We got room. Anybody want to, you know, just turn to the Lord, ask him for forgiveness? We don't know all the details with that. But Jesus says it was too late, because by the time they understood that they were under the divine wrath and judgment of God, the ark closed, and the flood carried them away to destruction. Now Jesus says again, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. I keep referring to 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul says, the world walks in darkness, and they will be taken like a thief in the night when Jesus returns. They will be waiting. The rains will be falling. They will see the ark. They will see the door sealed shut. And they will have no way of salvation because they have rejected the Lord Jesus. Now, before that happens, that's where we live today. The door to the ark of Jesus Christ is still open today. And unlike Noah, where there were only eight that were saved, Jesus says, whosoever believes in me will not perish. So there is time today. If you're not a Christian, you can come into the ark of Jesus Christ, be saved from the flood of his wrath that is going to come, and you don't have to be afraid of the great tribulation that will not flood the earth with water, but with the wrath of God that's coming. So you can be saved today. But Jesus just wants us to know that just like it was in the days of Noah, people were living, they weren't paying attention, they kind of mocked Noah, they weren't thinking about God, they thought they had time, they thought they had more of an opportunity, they'll get saved when they want, they'll think about God if they feel like it, maybe they thought they'd get saved in their, I'll build my own ark, I'll make my own way, I can make my own boats, not realizing that when the entire earth is flooded, if you don't have the right structure, you're going to perish in those winds and waves and waters.
And in the same way, you might think, well, I'll wait for Jesus to come back, and then I'll get saved. Then I'll go to church. Then I'll read the Bible, and it won't work like that. If the elect, Jesus said last week, will be so enticed to go after the Antichrist, if you're not walking with Jesus before the end, the odds of you getting right with him in the end are very slim. Don't wait. By the way, don't wait, because there's a greater judgment coming than even the tribulation, and that's eternal tribulation in hell that never ends, that there is no rest from. And I don't want you to go to hell, and I don't want you to face God's eternal tribulation, which the physical tribulation on this earth is representing. And warning people to flee from, and encouraging God's people to stay faithful to him so they don't get sucked into the tsunami of God's wrath when Jesus returns. Okay, why does God allow the tribulation? Why does it appear, at least in my calculations, that Christians will go through that? It's because God wants us, he wants to filter out those who don't truly love him. He wants to purify his bride and present a bride without spot or wrinkle before his Father in heaven. And so, anyways, we're kind of getting off course a little bit. We got to keep moving. But just think of Noah. Think of the salvation that was available. Think of the flood that came. Think of that door that the Bible says God shut Noah in. Noah couldn't have opened the door if he wanted to somebody, because he didn't close the door. God did. And in the same way, if we're living in the tribulation together, we can present the gospel, we can share the gospel, but we can't make somebody come into the ark of Jesus and receive the gospel if our life depended on it. And so we just, one last time before we move on, we just encourage people, come to Christ while you can, while there is still time. That's what the end will be like. It'll be like Noah, who was rescued because he loved God and was imperfect as he was, as we all are. He believed and trusted in God, and God saved him. Jesus continues, Matthew 24 down to verse 40. Then there will be two in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding grain at the mill. One will be taken and the other will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Jesus will come with signs for those who love him, who are walking in his light. But one will be taken, one will be left. And I've heard it both ways. The one that's taken is taken in judgment, and the one that is left is kept safe with God. And I've heard the one that is taken is raptured, and the other one that's left is left for the tribulation. However you want to look at it, Jesus says there are two people in this world. There are people that are going to be ready for the return of Jesus, and it's those who stay awake. Steve, I get scared about the end times. You got to stay awake. You don't need to dwell on the horrors. You don't need to dwell on these things, because what you need to dwell on is the overcoming that Jesus gives to those who love him. You need to hold on to the promise that Jesus' tribulation is sure to come in this life. But take heart. I, Jesus, has overcome the world. That's what you need to meditate on. And that's what Jesus says, stay awake. I don't want you to ignore the second coming. I don't want you to ignore the reality of God's judgment that is coming to this world one of these days. He says, stay awake. Why? He says, because you don't know when the Lord is going to return. You don't know. Jesus continues in Matthew 24 down to verse 43. Be sure of this, Jesus says, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. We cannot ignore the coming of Jesus, the second coming of Christ. We cannot. Even again, if we disagree on the timeline, maybe you believe a rapture's happening first. I hope you're right. I don't think that's the way it is. But either way, we need to stay ready for the rapture, right? Because if we're gone, you know, then we want to make sure that we have planted seeds for other people that hopefully will get saved during the tribulation. My feeling is that we, in my belief, and you can go back the last couple of episodes, 48 and 47, and come to your own conclusions. But Jesus, you know, says, listen, I'm going to come at a time when you don't think. Just when you think you figured it out, you will not figure it out. So if you think that you can just go, you know what, this is what's going to happen. I don't really care. I'm going to just live in the moment here, and all I'm going to worry about are the happy things in the Bible. You are not going to stay ready like Jesus said to, and Jesus will come at an hour. He says the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will, and you don't want to be caught off guard. This needs to show up in our preaching, in our teaching, in any books that somebody might write. This needs to come through in the way we live. Because again, if the Lord Jesus is returning, if the Lord Jesus is telling us that judgment is coming to this world when he returns, and if Jesus is telling us that we need to stay ready for these things, then we absolutely cannot just push it out of our mind. It needs to be the way we live our lives. Because if Christ is returning in judgment for the lost, we want to do what we can to have as few lost people here when he returns. What a great goal that would be if you and your church and all churches had a goal that we're going to, in our sphere of influence, we are going to do our best to share Jesus and his gospel with so many people that when Jesus does return, there are very few people in our circumference that don't already know him. Now, we don't know if that goal could be met. We might fall on our face. Everybody might tell us no. But when we stand before God, I want to be able to say, I tried. And God is in the business of saving people, but we are in the business of sharing him. And what happens between a person and God, that is out of our control. But we can share the gospel and tell people that Christ is returning to this world. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but he is coming. And that makes it even more important to keep on the alert. As Mark says, let's just segue into Mark 13:33. See to it, Jesus says, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. Underline that word appointed. God knows when he's going to send the Lord back. Jesus in his deity knows. God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they know why. Because the time has been appointed. But us people, we don't know. The angels, they don't know. But anyways, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. Now, Jesus is going to get two stories here. They're very similar. He says, it is like a man away on a journey who, leaving his house and giving authority to his slaves, each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay awake. Now that's you, that's me, that's our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is the man going away on the journey. He is the one with the authority that he gives to his slaves, to the doorkeeper. That's us. He has gone away. Jesus died, rose again, and ascended back to the Father. And he says, I'm leaving you, my disciples, my servants, my slaves, my church, I am leaving you this authority to share my gospel and to love your neighbor and to love your communities and to love your church and to stay awake. Jesus says, therefore, verse 35, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Jesus has talked much about the world and the judgment coming to the world. Now he's talking to the church. Now he's saying, this needs to be important to you. This, again, needs to come through in your life. You need to love your neighbor enough to share the gospel that Jesus is our salvation, that Jesus died for our sins, that our sins separate us from God. But thanks to Jesus, he has brought us near and back to God. And that's the gospel in a nutshell. But there's this important staying awake, because there is another event that is coming before the end of time, and that is the return of Jesus. And he says, I'm going away. I am trusting you with my gospel. I am trusting you to manage my estate. That's why we don't play games as Christians. Because he says, I'm going to hand you the keys to the house. I'm going to leave, but I will come back one of these days, and I'm not telling you when. I'm not going to tell you when, because I want to make sure you're faithful at night, in the evening, at midnight, when the rooster crows, in the morning. I want to make sure that you're following me. I want to make sure that you're sharing the gospel. I want to make sure you're making disciples. I want to make sure you're worshiping me with a pure heart. I want to make sure that you are busy doing the things that God has called us to do, not knowing, well, he's going to come back and 5 months, I better start going to church now. I better start reading the Bible now. It doesn't work like that. We need to be staying awake, being aware that Jesus will return and he's going to come suddenly. He says, lest I come suddenly. Well, you don't know if it's going to be the middle of the night, first thing in the morning, right in the middle of the day. It could come. He could return any time. Lest he come and suddenly and find you sleeping. I don't want that to happen when Jesus returns. If I am alive when Jesus returns, I do not think I will be, but I don't know. Okay? And I'm assuming that is a statement being said with the assumption of, you know, let's say I live to be 75 years old. I do not think Jesus is going to be back by then. I could be wrong, and no one knows. And I don't have time to get into the reasons why. I think there's a lot of gospel advancement that needs to happen and the revival of the Jewish people that will finally receive Jesus. But we'll get into that when we get into our study a little bit down the road. Why I don't think, although no one knows. But what I do know is whether I'm here or whether I'm not, my mindset is every day that I'm living, every day that I wake up, I don't want Jesus to come suddenly and find me sleeping, find me not sharing the gospel, find me not serving him, loving God, loving other people, not being busy using the gifts that he's given me to use. Well, Steve, why is that important? Because if you are not sleeping and if you stay awake, then you will be actively participating in, again, reaching the lost, that they may not get swept away in the flood of God's wrath when he returns. Do you see how that works? If I'm lazy, if I'm sleeping, if I'm a half-hearted Christian, I am not in the Word. I am not involved in church. I am not involved in some kind of ministry, whether it's a formal kind of a ministry or it's helping in a way that maybe others don't see. Both are beautiful ministries. But if you are loving your neighbor and sharing the gospel and involved in church and helping with the children's ministry and being involved in the missions trips and helping the teens go to camp and all of these things, plus many other things, if you're doing those things, you are mitigating the loss and the wrath that God is going to demonstrate when Jesus does return. If we are lazy, we're saying, I don't care who gets sucked up into the wrath of God. And if we are so lazy, maybe we ourselves will be those that get sucked up into the wrath of God. Because we might just be thinking that we're saved. Like Judas. Like the Old Testament Jews. Like the Jews of today. Like the world for the most part in different ways. Everyone thinks that they are saved. And Jesus says, if you are saved, then you are going to stay awake. You're going to be attending the master's house morning, noon, and night. No days off. We follow Jesus full time. We stay awake. Steve, what's the number one way I can stay awake? Well, I'll tell you. You need to be reading the Bible every day. Read it. Steve, I don't understand. Just keep reading it. Let's believe that God is telling the truth. His word will not return void. His word is where our faith grows. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, the words of Christ, the Bible says. Let's believe that even if you don't understand it today, that when you read the words and you take in what God is saying, that God will build your faith and you will start to become more sickened by sin. More awake in the master service. Be in the Bible. Be in church. Be in prayer. Stay awake. We're not perfect. But we can stay awake. Now, Matthew 24, Jesus tells a similar story. Who then is the faithful and prudent slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Again, busy about the master's work while he's gone, so that when he returns, he sees that. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Now, the verse here that I really want to highlight that's kind of the most different from the two stories Jesus gives. Verse 48, Matthew 24:48. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with the drunkards. That sounds like the people in Noah's day. Living for the world, not living for Jesus. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know. That's the whole point. Paul says, you walk in light so that the day of the Lord won't surprise you like a thief. 1 Thessalonians 5. And when we walk in the light, we don't behave this way. When we walk in the light, we're not fooling around with drunkenness, fooling around with, eating, partying, drinking, getting drunk with the drunkards, all these things. We walk in the light of Jesus. We walk after him and in his ways. And Jesus again says here, again, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him. And that is what is so dangerous about the end times, because the world is lulled to sleep, where when Jesus comes, it will be like you're in the middle of a dead sleep and a gallon of ice cold water is going to be poured onto you. It will throw you into just a shock. And you're going to think life is normal. Some people think right now, you think about the world today, you think about the millions of babies that are slaughtered in this country, you think about the wars that are going on and the dictatorships and the famines and the corruption and the pedophiles that run this world. If I've learned anything in recent times, this entire world system is run by satanic pedophiles. Now, don't got time to get into all that, but I will tell you this. The world wants you to think it's normal. The world wants you to think that it's just life as we know it. That is why every generation, sexuality becomes normalized. Homosexuality becomes normalized. Pedophilia is now going to be normalized. Normal people were throwing a fit over the Epstein thing, but in another generation, people will be saying Epstein should have been on the $20 bill because pedophilia. What's wrong with pedophilia? That's who runs this world. And let me tell you something. Jesus says, if you get sucked up into all of that, the master of that slave that's fooling around and not staying awake, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him at an hour which he does not know. Verse 51, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those people that say, the evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time. I have all the time in the world. I don't have to worry about it because Jesus wouldn't dare come before I get married. Jesus wouldn't dare come before I have sex with everybody I want to have sex with. Jesus wouldn't dare come before I make all the money I need to make. Jesus wouldn't dare come until I have everything I want from this life, and then I'll get old, and then I'll repent, and then I'll go to heaven and get everything I want there, whether he's there or not. Jesus says, I will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. Those who are fake, that word hypocrite, it comes from the acting world where you are acting as if you are something that you are not. Like if I acted like I was, you know, Superman, I would be like a hypocrite. Not really in a negative way, but I'm definitely not who I say I am. That word comes from the acting theater world. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those who are playing games with Jesus have no promise of eternal life. Only those who stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. We are fixated on the things of God. We are fixated on the Great Commission. We are fixated on Jesus being glorified. We are fixated on if we go through the tribulation, we are going to endure to the end. We are going to stand with Jesus, even if no one stands with us. We are going to be people that share the love of Christ. Share it with our gospel message. Share it with tangible needs. I love it when churches do those things. You give away school supplies. You give away food. You give away clothes. Those are beautiful things. As long as it is a gateway or a pathway for someone to hear about Jesus. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. We can't always, obviously force someone to visit our church or things like that. But boy, we can be out there making ourselves available to make a relationship. I love when churches do that. And just so you know, there is this mindset, well, the master's not coming for a long time. I have time. Some people say that in the sense that, why is he taking so long? Peter, the great apostle, he knew 2,000 years ago that that would start to creep up. As Peter was getting towards the end of his life, he assumed Jesus was maybe going to come back in his life. And when he writes 2 Peter, he knows he's about to, he won't be here that much longer. In 2 Peter 3:3, Peter says, knowing this, first of all, that in the last days, the days we're talking about, the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? He's taking so long. You have time. Why? They're going to mock you. Why are you telling people that's 20 years old to stop going to the bar, stop going to the parties, stop having sex with everybody they want to have sex with? Jesus isn't coming for, he's not going to come. He's taking all this time. Come on, man. The evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time. I can live for myself. Peter knew that mindset, he's echoing the words of Jesus. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Down to verse 8. 2 Peter 3, down to verse 8. But do not let this one fact escape you, escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some consider slowness, but is patient toward you. Why? Here's the big point. because we talked about the end for 3 weeks now, and we could talk about it for a long time. And we're going to do a detailed study on it a little bit down the road. But people will mock us. If you talk about Jesus coming back, that's on the church billboard, or that's, you know, the sermon series, and, you know, even a lot of well-meaning Christians from certain tribes will, well, man, that's not going to, that doesn't really seem seeker sensitive. They'll mock, the world mocks. You talk about Jesus returning, they'll mock. And sometimes even in ourselves, we go, man, Jesus, why are you taking so long? Why? I just want you to come back today. I know selfishly, I wish Jesus would just come back because I don't want to go through a tribulation. And I don't want, you know, my brothers and sisters in Christ to go through that. And quite frankly, I mean, life is great in many ways, but it's nothing compared to what is coming for us when we enter into eternity with God. This world, the best of it, will not compare with the quote-unquote least of heaven and the new earth one of these days. But Peter answers that too. He says, don't be playing games. Don't let people lie to you and mock you and tell you that Jesus isn't going to come. Because he says a day is like 1,000 years to God. And 1,000 years is like a day to God. In God's timetable, Jesus has been resurrected for like 2 days. Because God is outside of time, is what Peter is really saying here. God doesn't wait for things. God doesn't, we can't fully really understand that, but listen, he says, if we're on God, thinking of like God's timetable, his timetable is not like ours. And he says, God isn't slow to keep, the Lord is not slow to keep his promises. It's not that God's just dragging his feet or afraid to return. But he's patient towards you, Peter says, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's why it's taken so long. Jesus wanted you to hear the gospel, and he wanted your friends to hear it. I ask you a couple times every week, hit the share button. We'll just see if the Lord would direct this video to somebody on your Facebook, Instagram. Because the reason why Jesus doesn't come right now, at least in part, is because he is patient. You think of a great dam that has all this water, that if that dam broke, the village would be swept away in the destruction. And that little village would be the world that's lost. And the dam would be the patience of God. And that water that is going to break that dam one of these days would be the just righteousness of God and the wrath of God. And God does not want to see any of those people in that little village perish. He wants to give them another day. He wants to give them another opportunity. He is not willing that any perish, but for all to come to repentance. But, Peter says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Excuse me, like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away. Jesus already just talked about that. Heaven and earth will pass away. This world is passing away. He's going to create all things new, a new heavens and a new earth. Peter says the same thing here because Peter heard Jesus say these things. So Peter's expounding on it in certain ways under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But he says heaven and earth, the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat and the earth and its works will be found out. Peter says that you have time, and Jesus warned us he was going to return, and yet he is giving us this window of opportunity to repent, to become a Christian, to give our hearts and our souls and our lives and our worship and our devotion to King Jesus, that when the King returns, he will receive you as a beloved friend, servant, brother, family member, citizen of his kingdom. He says God is patient towards you. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants everybody in prison. He wants everybody that is so messed up in their life with drugs, alcohol, sexuality, people that have murdered, people that have, you know, he wants all to come to repentance, which means turning from those things and turning to him. And most of all, or at least equally, I should probably say, the hard-hearted religious person that thinks that they're good enough to go to heaven, he wants them to repent as well. But Peter says the day of the Lord will come. This end times day of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus, no matter how much patience God has, based upon God's word, and when we look at the entire picture of the story, we know that God is going to lift that patience one of these days. Like as it was in the days of Noah, when finally Noah and his seven family members entered the ark, God's patience ended. The time of salvation was up. Jesus says that is what it will be like when the Son of Man returns. Let's end tonight. Luke 21:34. But be on guard. Stay awake. Stay ready. Be on guard. You can't be lackadaisical. We can't just say, I don't want to think about the end. I don't want to think about the Antichrist. I don't want to think about tribulation. Listen, be on guard. Know it's coming. Don't be afraid. Jesus is with us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Be on guard so that your hearts will not be overcome with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. Said it five times, one last time. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says the same thing. Don't walk in darkness. Don't walk in dissipation, drunkenness, worldliness, sin, so that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who inhabit the face of all the earth. To my dear post-millennial friends, people that believe that basically none of my conclusions, we agree on, you know, the most important things. Obviously, they're great Christian people. But they would say all of these things are pointed at like the Jewish people of, you know, 40 years after Jesus was crucified, AD 70. And Jesus says, for it will come upon all those who inhabit the face of all the earth, not just Israel. But keep on the alert at all times, praying earnestly that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus says, essentially, don't let the cares of this world, don't be overcome with dissipation, which is just the world's distraction with worldliness, sin, compromise. He says, don't be overcome with dissipation, drunkenness. Why is it a sin to be drunk? Well, there are a few reasons at least, and many, many probably, but it is 100% a sin to be drunk. And one of the main reasons is because you can't stay on the alert when you're under the influence of alcohol or drugs. And Jesus says, I don't want your mind leaving the gospel and leaving my teachings and leaving the idea that every day we are one step closer to the end of this world, where judgment is coming. And if you're drunk, you can't stay sharp in his service. You can't be listening to God. You're under the influence of something other than his Holy Spirit, which is rendering you useless. He says, don't be overcome with those things, the worries of life. That's what Satan wants you to be afraid of. He wants you to fear tribulation and not celebrate the salvation of Jesus. He wants you to forget that Jesus is with you always, even until the end of the age. He wants you to forget that even if we get thrown into the fiery furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that Jesus is right there with us. Better to be in the fiery furnace with Jesus than to be in quote-unquote safety without him. Don't let the worries of this life. That's why the Bible says, do not love this world. Do not love the things of this world. Don't be like Adam and Eve that were enticed to take their eyes off of Jesus and off of God's word into the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Okay? Because if we love this world, we will be sucked away in the wrath of God when Jesus returns during the tribulation, during the end times season. We will be, those will be sucked away. Our preaching is too worldly. Too much of our preaching is too man-centered. We don't repent. We don't hear about sin. We don't hear about holiness. We don't hear about the return of Jesus. We don't hear about these things because the people coming to the church may not want to hear those things in the flesh, which is a sign that the people that are coming are maybe not necessarily filled with the Spirit, at least not as in tune with His Spirit as we should be. I don't want to hear about me when I hear the preacher talk. I don't want to hear about my felt needs. I don't want to hear about prosperity. I don't want to hear about the things of this world. I don't want to be invited to get closer to Jesus so I can have money or happy relationships or balancing my checkbook or table manners or all the stupid things that too many churches focus on. And if we focus on the world, we're going to disobey Jesus. Don't be focused on the worries of this life. Don't be focused on drunkenness. Don't be overcome with dissipation, drunkenness in this life. You have to die to this life if you will ever endure to the end and be saved. That day will not come, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. If we stay awake, we will not let that day will not overcome us like a trap. He's still going to come when no one knows, but we will see him when he returns. We will see the signs. We will be prepared for this time period, unlike the world. Jesus says his coming is coming upon all those who inhabit the face of the earth. This is worldwide. This is everybody. This is why Jesus is for everybody. White and black, Democrat, Republican, rich, poor, American, non-American, Iranian, Israeli, Chinese, everybody, no matter what flavor of sin they have chosen in their free will, Jesus is for everybody because his judgment is coming to the entire world. And that is why Jesus said, go into the entire world, preach the gospel to all people. Why? Because his judgment is going to come upon those who inhabit the face of all the earth. And if we can bring Jesus to them, they can place their trust in him and not be crushed under the wrath of God that is coming. Keep on alert at all times. Jesus says, but keep on alert at all times. All times. Not just Sunday mornings. Not just Wednesday nights. Not just when it's easy. Keep alert at all times. Stay on the alert at all times. Praying earnestly that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are about to take place. Well, how do we escape them if we're going to go through them? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by keeping our eyes on Jesus and our testimony rooted in Christ. That's the book of Revelation. Again, don't got time to get into that tonight, but that's what that means. They overcame by the giving up their lives, not loving their life, unto death, if it means staying close to Jesus. So pray that you have strength to escape all of these things and to overcome and to stand before the Son of Man. I want to end there tonight because when Jesus returns, those who love him, those who are saved, those who belong to him, we will be able to stand because of our confidence in him, because of our status before Almighty God only in Jesus and in Christ alone. You'll hear Bible preachers like myself and others, we always tell you, you can't be saved by your good works. You can't be saved by anything that you do. It's only because of Jesus that we can stand when he returns, that we can stand on that last day. We can't stand on our own merits. Our own merits mean nothing to God. Jesus and his merit means everything. Pray at all times. Stay ready at all times. Pray earnestly that you may have the strength to escape all of these things and that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, Psalms 1 says the wicked will not stand. They cannot stand on the day of judgment. They will fall. But you don't have to fall. You can stand before the Lord when he returns and for all eternity again. Because if you are a Christian, this is the good news. If you are a Christian, you have been covered in the perfection of Jesus, in the righteousness of Jesus, in the payment of Jesus. All of your sins were taken off of you and put on Jesus like a shirt, like a garment. And he took off his righteous robes and put it on you, put it on me. So again, when we stand, he is glorified because, again, it's not a righteousness of my own. He gave this to me. I put my faith in him, and he promised he would give me his righteousness. He became my sin, 2 Corinthians 5 says, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And I just want you to know that statement that I made to you there is free to you. Regardless of how bad of a sinner you might think you are, if you were 10 times worse, Jesus would save you. Jesus can save you. Jesus came to seek and to save you. And Jesus simply extends his hand of friendship to you today and says, follow me. I will make you a fisher of men. I will place a new heart within you. You don't have to do the work. You couldn't do the work. Jesus will do it. And what do? We follow in his steps. We start to live like Jesus and think like Jesus. We read his word and we start to obey him and know him and fellowship with him. And it doesn't happen overnight most of the time. It's a lifelong journey. But it starts with the step for you to stand at the return of Christ, stand before him on judgment day. And it starts with getting your sins dealt with, which is why Jesus came, so that you can stand on the final day of judgment, so that you can stand and not perish in the eternal tribulations of hell, so that you can be a Christian, so that you can walk with him and be purchased and owned and loved by God. So that you can be ready and not taken off guard on that last day. Will we be here on the last day, the day of the Lord? Will we be here when Jesus returns? Will we be here? No man knows the day. No man knows the hour. He might come back sooner than we think. He says, I'm going to come back on a day that you don't expect. But he says, you will have signs. You will see the fig tree and the natural progression of what the fig tree sprouting those leaves mean. You will see, he says, again, you will not be taken off guard as those who walk in darkness. We won't know the exact timing, and neither do we need to try to figure it out. We cannot. But we can know the signs that Jesus is coming back. Steve, do you think we are seeing any of those now? We'll get into more of that when we get into our formal study a little bit down the road. No man knows the day or the hour, but I do think there are many great foreshadowings. If we're not near the end, some of the stuff we're seeing in the world today, very, very much so, is at least a symbol of things to come. And it could be the beginning of the end. We don't know. But we can stay awake and stay ready. What if Jesus came back this year? What if the end times started this year? We won't probably know it that specifically. What if? Today is the day to get serious with your walk with Christ. If you don't need it, you live another 30, 40 years, he never returns. That's okay. Jesus didn't say those who are here stay awake. He told all to stay awake. What I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. And if he doesn't return in our lifetime, I hope our kids, our grandkids, their kids and their kids, and until he comes, the spiritual legacy that we can leave with our loved ones will be to help others be ready for the return of Christ. That will do it for us tonight. Next week, we'll still touch on some of the end times things, but this ends kind of that formal little mini series. It's a little bit of a foretaste of what I want to do after we're done with this study. I want to look at the end, and we're going to do a detailed study on the end, and I think I'm going to call it The End. And we're going to look at what the Word of God says from the Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus' words, Paul's words, Peter's words, John's words, Old Testament. We may look at some current events and, again, not get weird, but just take a look at that fig tree. Like Jesus says, stay awake, not draw irresponsible conclusions, but just learn and stay close to Jesus in his word. That'll be in the future to come. So thank you for tuning in tonight. I saw a number of comments. Libby, my dear sister in Christ, I see the comment. I'm glad to see you there. I see a number of other people on. My Mama Jay watching, and so that's always a great encouragement. And there's other comments on the Instagram, but I can't see it because of the way I have things set up. But anyways, thank you all. And I want to ask you one last time, hit the share button. That's all we ask for you. If you want to leave a comment, that's great. Share this video. That's great. Let's get this message out to as many people as we can. That'll do it for us for episode 249. We'll be back next Wednesday night for episode 250. So until then, have a great rest of your week. Have a great weekend with your church family. I will see you all next Wednesday night for episode 250. God bless.